जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद Today is a very auspicious day. It is the appearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri and also of Srila Srinivasacharya. And it is also the appearance day of the deity of Sri Radharaman, was worshipped by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, direct disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The story of Radharaman is that in Vrindavan, the devotees were all preparing to celebrate Nrisimha Chaturdasi and decorating their deities very nicely. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami did not have a deity of Krishna or Radha and Krishna, but he had 12 Shalagram Shilas. The history is that he went to the Gandaki River where these Shilas are found, and he was wading in the water, and 12 Shilas jumped into his basket, and he wasn't really planning to take 12 Shilas back with him to Vrindavan, so he, you know, very carefully took them out of his basket, but they jumped back in. And again, he took them out, again they jumped back in. And so he surrendered. He understood that they wanted to accept his service. So he brought them back to Vrindavan, and he was worshiping them. And on Nrisimha Chaturdasi, somehow, seeing everyone dressing their deities and decorating them with beautiful ornaments and serving them in so many ways, he just had the thought that he wished he had a deity with form, because the Shilas are stones, but they don't have the same kind of form as carved deities, sculpted deities. So the next morning, when he went to wake up his Shilas, he found that one of them had the beautiful shape of the deity of Radharaman, the very beautiful Krishna deity in Vrindavan. And so he worshipped Radharaman, held a great festival, and even till today, the deity of Radharaman is considered most beautiful. Of course, all deities are Krishna, and for one who has the eyes to see them as Krishna, they are Krishna. But still, among the three famous deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, it is said that the lotus feet of Madan Mohan most closely resemble the lotus feet of Krishna, and the body of Govindaji most closely resembles the trunk of Sri Krishna, and the face of Gopinath most closely resembles the face of Krishna. But Radharaman, he is the most perfect embodiment of the beauty of Krishna. And when the Muslims were invading India and threatening to destroy the temples and desecrate the deities, the main deities of Vrindavan were taken away by the devotees for their protection. And Govinda and Gopinath and Radha Damodar, Radha Vinod, they are all in Jaipur. And Radha Madan Mohan is in Karoli, which is sort of between Vrindavan and Jaipur. But because Radharaman was so small, he could remain in Vrindavan, and he is in Vrindavan. And the family that worships Radharaman for many generations have been close to our acharyas in our line. One of the present Saivites is Padmanabh Goswami, and he's very friendly with ISKCON devotees, and he knew Srila Prabhupada, but especially his father, Vishwambar Goswami, was very sort of friend of Srila Prabhupada and very supportive of Srila Prabhupada. And then his grandfather was a friend, associate of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and great-grandfather of both Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there is a history of friendship between that particular family of the worshippers of Radharaman and our predecessor acharyas. So one of the deities that was hidden for fear of the Muslim invaders was Gopal. And Gopal was hidden in some bushes near Govardhan Hill. And the pujari just left him and fled. And he remained hidden in the bushes, which in time became more overgrown with bushes and creepers, until one day Madhavendra Puri came to Govardhan. Now Madhavendra Puri was a sannyasi in the same line coming from Lord Brahma and Srila Madhvacharya. And as a sannyasi, he would travel. He also came to the home of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi was a very good cook, and the couple were very affectionate to devotees and sannyasis, and so they hosted him and served him. So in the course of his travels, he came to Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill. And his policy was that he would not make any effort to get food. If food came to him by Krishna's arrangement, he took it as Krishna's mercy. And if food didn't come, well, he also took that as Krishna's mercy and fasted. But he was always absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And so he came to Govardhan Hill, and he was chanting the holy name. He hardly slept, and he was just absorbed in ecstatic love of Godhead. And a young cowherd boy from the neighborhood came with a pot of milk and said that my mother sent me with this milk for you, and in this village no one goes hungry. So he left the pot of milk, and Madhavendra Puri drank it. The boy disappeared, and eventually Madhavendra Puri understood that that boy was Krishna himself, and that awakened even more ecstatic feelings of love. So that night, Krishna came to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and told him that I have been kept in some bushes at Govardhan Hill for fear of the Muslims, and I have been here for a long time, and I'm subjected to the scorching heat and torrential rains and biting cold, and please inform the villagers about my presence and come and take me out of the thicket and install me on top of Govardhan Hill and establish my proper worship. So Madhavendra Puri did all of that. It's described very beautifully in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, how they found the deity and installed the deity, and then Madhavendra Puri, he trained some of the villagers in the deity worship and initiated them, and then he handed over the worship to them, and then he was again free to travel. So Gopal, you know, it gets very hot in Govardhan in the summer. I've heard that in the contemporary listings of temperatures in different places, that in the summer, New Delhi is usually at the top of the list, and Govardhan Hill is usually 3 degrees or more hotter than Delhi. So it gets very hot. So Madhavendra Puri, to serve his deity, undertook the journey by foot to Jagannath Puri to get sandalwood and camphor to rub on the body of Gopal to cool him. And on the way, he came to Ramuna and stopped at the temple of Gopinath. Now, the temple of Gopinath is famous for the kheer, or sweet rice, that it offers to the deity. And Madhavendra Puri just had a thought in his mind that if he could taste that sweet rice, he would know how to prepare the same kind of offering for Gopal. But as soon as that thought crossed his mind, he immediately condemned himself for lusting, for wanting to enjoy the deity's offering. Although he really was thinking of serving his own deity. He wasn't really thinking of his sense gratification, but still, he was such a pure devotee that he considered even that to be a disgraceful, selfish act, that he was desiring to taste the sweet rice. Of course, our cases are different. For us, it's good to eat lots of prasad and develop. For us, that's like higher taste. But Madhavendra Puri, he felt very ashamed of himself for having thought in that way. So he just left the temple and found a vacant area in the marketplace and was absorbed in chanting the holy name. So, the pujaris put the deities to rest and they retired for the night. But in the night, the pujari had a dream in which Gopinath appeared to him and said that I have kept one of the pots of sweet rice that were offered to me hidden. I stole this pot of sweet rice because I want you to deliver it to my devotee Madhavendra Puri, who is chanting the holy name and, resting in the marketplace. So the pujari, woke up, bathed, put on fresh cloth, found the pot of sweet rice that the deity had hidden, or as said, stolen from out of Indrapuri, and he went into the marketplace. He was shouting, "Will the sannyasi named Madhavendrapuri please come forward? The deity Gopinath has stolen some sweet rice for you. please come forward and claim your sweet rice." So he delivered the sweet rice, and Madhavendrapuri thought that as soon as the news spreads that the deity Gopinath stole the sweet rice for me, then everyone will, you know, think I'm a very special devotee, and they'll gather around me, and, you know. So Madhavendrapuri thought I should leave here immediately. Because he didn't want, you know, name and fame. He didn't want people to praise him and worship him. So he immediately left for Jagannath Puri. But as it is said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the reputation of a great devotee not just follows him, but also precedes him. So by the time he reached, because he's walking by foot, by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, his fame had already spread, and he was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms beyond his control. And so anyway, it was quite complicated. There was the government was controlling, you know, camphor, sandalwood, different valuable items. So had to get government permits, and there were taxes to be paid. So many things, but everyone wanted to serve him. Everyone wanted to cooperate with him in his service to his deity. In India also, even recently, when we were building the temples in Bombay and Vrindavan and Mayapur, there's government control of cement. Some time ago when His Holiness Niranjan Swami was staying with me in Santa Barbara, we were watching the DVD series produced by Yadubara Prabhu called Following Srila Prabhupada, which I highly recommend. I feel every devotee should see that. So in the series, Yadubara Prabhu has all the live footage of Srila Prabhupada that we know exists. He's put it all together in chronological order. And then he had, he interviewed disciples, or not even necessarily disciples, but devotees, people who were present at the time that Srila Prabhupada was performing the activities captured in the film. And so we had come to the stage when Srila Prabhupada was going to Vrindavan for the first time with his disciples. And everyone was so ecstatic that they were going to Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. And devotees hadn't been to Vrindavan before then. So Gurudas Prabhu describes how they were on the bus with Srila Prabhupada, and the whole time, and they were just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to speak about Vrindavan, Krishna and Vrindavan, and like shower them with some nectar of vraja and maybe reveal some esoteric truths. The whole time Srila Prabhupada was just silent, just chanting his japa, silently chanting, and maybe looking out the window. Then at one stage he looked out the window and it was clear he was about to speak. He cleared his throat. No. The devotees were all waiting. Now what is finally Prabhupada's going to say something. He cleared his throat. Cement. We have to get more, do something to get more cement. And yeah, Niranjan Swami, like you, he just laughed. Srila Prabhupada. Because the cement was under government control and we needed cement to build these big temples in Bombay and Mayapur and Vrindavan. So anyway, so back then, you know, it was sandalwood and camphor, and so with great difficulty, Madhavendra Puri procured the ingredients, and he was walking back to Puri with some assistants who were carrying a large quantity. And still they had to go through different Muslim checkpoints and pay the tolls, and it was a big ordeal. And then he came to Ramuna again on the way back. And everyone remembered him. The pujari offered him sweet rice. And at night, Gopal appeared to him in his dream and said that Gopinath and I are the same. So it is very difficult for you to travel carrying all these items for me. And Madhavendra Puri never complained. He was happy to do any service. But from the external point of view, it was a very arduous journey with so many difficulties and extremes of climate and everything. So Gopal didn't want him to have to suffer that anymore. So he said, Gopinath and I are the same. So if you prepare a mixture of sandalwood pulp and camphor and smear it on the body of Gopinath, my body in Govardhan will be cooled. And I will feel relieved and refreshed. So Madhavendra Puri told the pujaris about the dream, and of course they were very happy because they could offer sandalwood and camphor to Gopinath and have Madhavendra Puri's association. So there are many wonderful pastimes described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with many instructive lessons for us. But because we have only so much time, I thought to move ahead to his disappearance pastime, which is very instructive. Madhavendra Puri was the first in our line, which means the first, because it's only in our line, really, to manifest ecstatic love in the mood of separation from Krishna, specifically in the mood of Radharani and the gopis, in separation from Krishna after he left Vrindavan. And the feelings of separation are very central to the mood of our line. And it is really feelings of separation that accelerate our Krishna consciousness. Generally, it begins with our spiritual master, and devotees, our spiritual master, and then from there, we sort of develop that attachment for the Panchatattva, Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, their associates, and then ultimately Radha and Krishna. So at the end of his life, Madhavendra Puri was absorbed in that mood of separation. And he was very faithfully served by his disciple Ishwara Puri. But he had another disciple named Ramachandra Puri who could not understand his mood. And Ramachandra Puri was a, you could say, latent impersonalist. And so the way he dealt with Madhavendra Puri at the end, and Madhavendra Puri dealt with him, and the way that Ishwara Puri dealt with him at the end, and the way he dealt with Ishwara Puri, is very instructive. And so I will read about that. Instructive in many ways. It's also instructive about how to care for someone at the time of death. It's like a perfect example of how we should care for our devotees, our loved ones, our superiors at the time of death. So, Ramachandra, at this point in the narration in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramachandra Puri had come to Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, and he had a policy of inviting the devotees and feeding them prasad, and forcing them to eat more and more and more, and then criticizing them for eating so much. He would do that. And he would be very insulting. You know, he would say, previously I heard that the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat excessive quantities of prasad, and now I am seeing it for myself. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decreased his eating in half because of the criticism. And, you know, the devotees were very upset because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it is, was living so austerely. I mean, he wouldn't accept any facility. He was acting as the ideal sannyasi in that context. And, he would just sleep on the floor if devotees offered him like a blanket or anything, oil for his body, he would reject it or offer it to Jagannath. Right? So, but at least he would honor prasad. But then, when Ramachandra Puri was criticizing so much, he cut his eating in half. And then the devotees, they also cut their eating in half because they couldn't eat more when their guru or worshipable Lord was eating less. So Ramachandra Puri's presence was like a curse in their minds. It was like so oppressive for him to be in Puri. It's just like have a fault finder like that. And but because he was on the same level, because he was a disciple, at least initiated, he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Ramachandra Puri was a godbrother of Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, and the etiquette is that you worship the godbrother or respect the godbrother on the same level as your own spiritual master. So finally, some of the other more senior sannyasis who are on that same generation of disciples, they approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, you know, Ramachandra Puri is a fault finder, and you shouldn't take him so seriously. I mean, that it's his nature, he finds faults, and you shouldn't have to change your behavior because of him. And then they explained the history of Ramachandra Puri. So that, in relation to Madhavendra Puri, and that's what I'm going to read now. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 8. Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. Now we'll say this, we did it, but we'll say it again. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Text 17. The characteristic of Ramachandra Puri was that first he would induce someone to eat more than necessary, and then he would criticize him. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna and sometimes would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master, "If you are in full transcendental bliss," he said, "you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying?" Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman-realized person is always happy. Nasochiti nakangshiti. He neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. So, there's the material world and material hankering and lamenting, which are certainly very miserable conditions for the conditioned soul, and the conditioned soul is always engaged, pretty much always engaged in hankering or lamenting. He's never satisfied. Our dear godbrother Bharadraj Prabhu has established a friendship with the curator of the Getty Museum. We hope something will come of that relationship. But anyway, so at one time, John Paul Getty was the richest man in the world. And a reporter interviewed him. And, you know, you're the richest man in the world. You have everything that money can buy. Can you tell us in one word, what is your philosophy? And he said, yes, I can.
More.
That was his philosophy, more. That means he was never satisfied. He wasn't like Dhruva Maharaj, Swamin Kitarthosmi Varangniyache. Now I have seen you, now I'm fully satisfied, I do not want anything more. His mood was more. That means he was not satisfied. That means he wasn't happy. So this is the plight of every conditioned soul. He's never satisfied. He always wants more of what he wants and less of what he doesn't want. So the Bhagavad Gita explains that when one is on the Brahman platform, spiritual platform, realizes he's not the body, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna, he becomes joyful. And na sochati na kankshati, doesn't hanker or lament. So, but beyond that level of Brahman is the realm of ecstatic spiritual emotion. And on that level, Madhavendra Puri was experiencing spiritual hankering and lamentation, which was beyond Ramachandra Puri's capacity to understand. And so he completely misunderstood his spiritual master and dared to, you know, instruct him or correct him. So, how did Madhavendra Puri respond? Text 22. Suni Madhavendra mane krodha upajila Dura dura papishta bali barsana karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." That is very heavy. Especially from one's spiritual master. It says here, krodha upajila, anger. Anger arose in him. That's another one of those emotions which on the material platform we should avoid. The Bhagavad Gita, you know, these are the enemies kama, krodha, lobha, lust, anger, greed. But this was not material anger, this was spiritual anger. Everything that exists in the material world also exists in the spiritual world in its original pure form. So here we become angry when our sense gratification is impeded. But in the spiritual world, pure devotees become angry when Krishna's pleasure is impeded, or when their service, which is meant to please Krishna, is impeded, which ultimately means when Krishna's pleasure is impeded. So Madhavendra Puri became angry and said, "Dura, dura, get out. Let's go far away. Papishta, you sinful rascal." So, anyway, it's very heavy. Then Madhavendra Puri prayed to Krishna. Krishna na painu na painu matura apana duke maron editi aila jwala. Oh my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I'm dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Yeah, this is another thing that, yeah, I mean, pure devotees have emotions, they experience on a totally different platform. They also experience pleasure and pain. I remember when I first joined, because of, you know, having a very immature idea of spiritual life, I thought that a pure devotee or a realized soul, and I knew that Srila Prabhupada was one, I thought that he would be equal to everyone, like, you know, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochiti Nakamshiti Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. He sees everyone equally. And but I would hear the devotees talk about Srila Prabhupada, like how he liked a particular person, or how he was annoyed by a particular incident. And so I was trying to understand, because I thought, you know, he would be equal to everyone. And they explained that no, pure devotee also likes people, you know, who are favorable to Krishna. And he may be, you know, angry with people who are against Krishna or Krishna consciousness. Of course, in a way, he is equal to everyone because he wishes everyone well. He doesn't have friends and enemies like mundane people. He's a well-wisher to everyone. He wishes everyone well, and he wants everyone to become Krishna conscious and go back to Krishna. But in the process of preaching and meeting people, he also has preferences, which is natural. So text 24, mora muke na dekabi tuiyao yatitati tore deki maila mora habe asadgati. And he's again turning his attention to Ramchandra Puri. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. Now, there are times when Srila Prabhupada acted in similar ways. There was one case in particular. Srila Prabhupada had a personal servant who eventually left. And that servant, after a gap, came back to visit Srila Prabhupada. But he wasn't in the mood of coming back to Krishna consciousness, but somehow he wanted to meet Srila Prabhupada and sort of explain himself, maybe justify himself. So he said, Srila Prabhupada, somehow I was just never happy in Krishna consciousness. You know, sort of like people nowadays. It didn't work for me. You know, it wasn't a good fit. Somehow I was never really happy in Krishna consciousness, so I just left. Yeah. And Prabhupada said, good, I'm glad you left, because now we don't have to look at your morose face anymore. So, now, you know, this is a very sort of interesting feature of Srila Prabhupada's preaching. This was a specific case, but we do find that he often uses the word rascal, fool, rascal, nonsense. And, it might sound harsh to someone, it might sound unbecoming for a saintly person, but what Prabhupada is really doing is sort of meeting people in kind. You know, they, like, say, he'll say the scientists are rascals. But basically what the scientists are saying is, there's no God, and it, so the implication is if you believe in God, you're a fool. You know, a fool, a rascal. So they don't say it in so many words, but in effect that's what they're saying. You know, we don't need any idea of God to explain all these things. We have our, the Big Bang and whatever other theories they have. Where does God come in the picture? Well, that's what they say, many of them. So what is the conclusion? Well, if you believe in God, if you need to resort to God to explain phenomena that we can explain without God, what does it mean? It means you're fools and rascals. So Prabhupada is just, returning the compliment by saying they're fools and rascals. So, this former servant of Prabhupada's, he's saying I wasn't happy around you, so I left. And Prabhupada said, well, good, I'm glad you left, because we weren't happy seeing your unhappy face. But it doesn't mean that within his heart, Prabhupada didn't want him to come back to Krishna consciousness. But it's just sort of like tit for tat. It's just the way you deal with people. It's just it's the way you deal with people. You quoted one maxim, maybe from Chanakya, but the maxim says, if someone is very upright and straightforward with you, you should be most honest and straightforward with them. And if someone is very cunning with you, you should be even more cunning with them. Srila Prabhupada told one of the leaders in India that we have to be very smart when we deal with people. He said that after people deal with us, they should go and tell their friends that these Hare Krishna people may look like fools, but they're very intelligent, so don't mess with them. So, yeah, I mean, it's like Krishna consciousness is multifaceted. It's not like one-dimensional or two-dimensional. It includes everything. So, and sometimes, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sometimes, you know, he would outwardly treat Ramachandra Puri with respect as an elder and like reduce his eating, and sometimes he didn't care for him. He just treated him like a straw in the street. So, Prabhupada also, like once, when Prabhupada was in South India, one South Indian Brahmin, a scholar Brahmin, he criticized that, Swamiji, your disciples do not pronounce the Sanskrit properly when they recite the shlokas. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is why we have come to you. Now you stay with us and you teach them how to pronounce properly. So, you know, Prabhupada, in a way, took a humble position and, you know, praised him, but at the same time wanted to engage him, which, of course, I don't think that person would have done, because he was just wanted to find fault and be superior. But anyway, generally, we should be polite and humble. And another thing about this fool and rascal language, after I'd been in India for 3 years, I got very sick and I just couldn't get better. Jaundice. And Prabhupada said, you know, as long as Giriraj stays in Bombay, he won't be able to get better. So I came here. And I was staying in, they used to have like a Tulsi greenhouse, and they had like a couple of guest rooms off of it. So I was staying there. And what was I talking about?
Fools and rascals.
Sorry?
In the context of fools and rascals.
Fools and rascals. Such a fool and rascal, I forgot what I was saying. Sorry? Yeah. Well, I know why I can't remember what I was saying, because my mind went to something else, which I thought I shouldn't say, but maybe I have to get it out. I have to get it out. Then I can move on. So, in Bombay, in Bombay when I had jaundice, I was like very weak. And there's a stage in the recovery period where, you need to get your strength back. So, Tamal Krishna Goswami was the GBC. I was the temple president, but I was sick, so he was the authority. And so Prabhupada told him to make sure that I get rasgullas, because they're very high in protein, very nourishing. And there's a whole history about me and Prabhupada and rasgullas that goes back to Calcutta when my parents came and they complained that there wasn't enough protein in this diet. But anyway, so it was very funny. So I wasn't able to see Prabhupada because I was really so weak. I was basically just on the floor and, on a straw mat in my room. But before leaving India, I had to see him. So it was hard, but I went and saw him. And Tamal Krishna Goswami was in the room. And he sort of said to Tamal Krishna Goswami, because Prabhupada had, it's just natural you deal differently with different people. People have different psychologies and you deal differently. So with the managers, Prabhupada dealt differently, and also different managers had different psychologies. So he probably figured Tamal didn't want to lose me, Managers, they don't want to lose their devotees, especially if they think the devotee is useful. I mean, for Krishna service. So Prabhupada, spoke a few words to me, and then he turned to Tamal Krishna Goswami and said, "Now Giriraj is going to Los Angeles, where Karandar will give him rasgullas, which you could not do." And it's sort of like, you can't, I'm sort of sharing just some thoughts, but it's like, you can't blame me for sending him to Los Angeles. He could have stayed here if you would have provided rasgullas, but because you didn't provide the rasgullas, I have to send him to L.A. So, so I came and living in that little room. And when, gradually I was recovering my health and I was starting to be able to go up to Prabhupada's room, same room. And one day, Hridayananda Maharaj's mother came to meet Srila Prabhupada. I'm mentioning this because sometimes devotees mention they have a hard time with their parents, like preaching to their parents, which is natural. So she said, so Prabhupada said, your son is very intelligent. And she said, yes, Howard always was a good student. What the type of intelligence Prabhupada was referring to and the type of intelligence she was referring to were different. But they agreed, okay, he's intelligent. Then he started talking about Devahuti and Kapiladev, that Devahuti had a son who was very advanced in spiritual knowledge. And so her son, Kapiladev, was instructing her in spiritual knowledge, and she was taking that instruction from him. So even though that is, even though the parents know more than the children in the beginning, and they're used to being the ones to instruct the children, it may happen that the child becomes more spiritually enlightened than the parent, and in that case, the parent can take the good instruction from the child. But that was something that Prabhupada could say to her. I don't know how well it would work for a son or daughter to tell his or her mother or father that, you know. But that's a hard one. Usually it's better just to be polite and nice. And so they think, oh, he's become so nice, so polite, so helpful, so peaceful, so blissful. Maybe there is something to this. And then, you know, they might look into it. So, now that I've gotten past that, we're back to fools and rascals. So, at that time, Srila Prabhupada was having morning walks with later Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami, otherwise Swarup Damodar Das Brahmachari, and also Dr. Wolf Rotsky. And so he would use this language a lot, you know, fools, rascals, kick them in the face with boots. And so I was very enlivened by this whole field of scientific preaching, and Prabhupada was so, you know, strong on that, and he really wanted to, to fight that atheistic viewpoint. And so I went up to Prabhupada, and he was taking his massage up there right under the skylight. And so I said, you know, I see how important the scientific preaching is to you. So I think, you know, maybe I should do that. Well, your field is psychology. And then I said, you know, I see that when you speak about the scientists, you use these words like fools, rascals, and, should we speak like that when we meet them? And Prabhupada said, no, you should speak like a gentleman. So we shouldn't be confused. I mean, that's how Prabhupada was referring to them when speaking to us. But when he spoke to big people in the material world, you know, he was very respectful of their position in life. You know, you have to, like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even though Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking nonsense, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just sat and listened very patiently. And Prabhupada said that when we deal with big people, we have to follow the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may just have to listen to them speak nonsense for some time because they're puffed up. And he said, but they, you know, they deserve to be puffed up because they're big people. But after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to him speak nonsense for 7 days, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, you haven't said anything. Well, you know, why not? What's and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got a chance to speak. So sometimes we have to do that. But just like they don't say we're fools and rascals outright, but that's what it comes to. So, but when we meet them, we don't also say outright, "You're fools and rascals," but we just explain the philosophy. So, yeah. So anyway, now we'll come to the conclusion here. So Madhavendra Puri, he was also such a highly elevated Paramahansa, pure devotee Mahabhagavat, but he was also exhibiting variegated transcendental emotions. And he, in the previous one, he said rascal. This one he says, Krishna na painu muni maron apanara duke mara brahma upadeshe echara murke. Murke means fool. He says, I'm dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desires appeared within him. So this is a very important point, that one of the reactions to committing offenses is material desires come. Sometimes it seems confusing that someone is following the process of Krishna consciousness and has given up all sorts of material comforts and pleasures, and then after some time goes back. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen sometimes. So one reason, there could be different reasons, but one reason could be offenses. And that's the reaction that one gets to offenses. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita continues, one who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in blasphemy. Now, here's the other example, the good example. Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishwara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and critic of everyone else. Ishwara Puri received the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. So it's very clear, we should serve devotees. We can serve them physically by helping them. I mean, yes, this was extreme, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand, and that may be necessary at a certain stage. And then help them spiritually by chanting the holy names and speaking to them about Krishna, and thus helping them remember Krishna. So Ishwara Puri is a perfect example of service to the spiritual master, service to a Vaishnava. And Ramachandra Puri was just the opposite. He was an example of being offensive and proud. And the result of that pride and brazenness was that he became an ocean of fault finding, and Ishwara Puri became an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, to the extent that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwara Puri as his own spiritual master. And then just to conclude, His Divine Grace Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna while passing away from the material world. He chanted the following verse: Ayi Dina Dayadra Natha He Mathura Natha Kadava Lokyase Hridayam Twad Aloka Kataram Daita Brahmayati Kim Karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So this is that very deep mood of separation. In fact, it is said earlier in Chaitanya Charitamrita that only three persons could understand the deep meaning of this verse. One was Srimati Radharani. This is spoken in her mood. One was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one was Sri Madhavendra Puri. Only those three. A shloke Krishna prema kare upadesha Krishnera viraha bhaktera bhava vishesha. In this verse, Madhavendra Puri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna by feeling separation from Krishna. One becomes spiritually situated. Madhavendra Puri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have incidentally described the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. Anyone who hears this, have you all heard this? Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Madhavendra Puri ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.